Good morning. Welcome to The Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we certainly welcome you back today in this new week. Today we want to talk a little bit about false preachers, which is what the whole gist of what we do, that's what we do. We talk about the false preachers that are preaching a lot of false, not only doctrine, but just garbage. People out there preaching stuff that's just insane to listen to. And we want to cover some of that today. You know, we try to cover a lot of stuff, but I think it's just so important that people understand that there's so many people being deceived. And when I say so many, I just don't mean a few here and there, not even dozens or hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands. I believe there's millions of people in the world that's being deceived even as we speak, and a lot of it, sad to say, goes unnoticed by so many church people. And a lot of it is they don't look, they don't study, they don't listen. What do I want to say? It's almost like they don't care. And I know they do care, but they get so closed into their own little neighborhood, their own little bubble, that they don't look to see what's going on in the world. This is verified over and over again by people I talk to, that they'll tell me things like, wow, I had no idea so-and-so said things like that. Or, who is that person? Or how did you find stuff like that out? Where does that kind of news come from? You know, it's not hidden, folks. It's all over. It's just you got to be willing and want to see what's going on in the church world, not just your own little church in your small town, but in the church world as a whole. That's who we're supposed to be concerned about, not just our little congregation. And that's where a lot of it comes from, is that we just get so wrapped up on our own little thing that we have no idea what's going on outside around us. excuse me. In Acts 20:29-31, the Lord said, "For I know this, that after my departing," I believe this was Paul in Acts saying, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." You got to remember, Paul walked, became a disciple. And Paul really was watching. Excuse me, I have a cold and I apologize for that. Paul knew what the Lord was saying. Here he's repeating some of the things to the people that the Lord had talked about. So, the Lord was very serious about false teachers and false preachings, teachings that were going to be going around. And he told them, men will come up. There are going to be men pop up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. We know if you was a disciple of Christ, and especially those who walked with him daily like they did, that even they could be fooled. How much more could we be fooled? These people walked with Jesus day after day. He taught them. And if Christ had a concern that even they could be deceived, wow, we should realize right off the bat, without any argument at all, that we certainly in today can be deceived so easily. Yeah, we do have the written word to help us more than what Paul and them did. But walking with Jesus, I mean, that's the word in the flesh. There's a lot of difference there. False preachers make a lot of false comments and a lot of false things that happen in the church world. I'd like to read you just some of the false nonsense that some of these false preachers, and I call them false preachers because if they're preaching something that's false, then hello, that makes them a false preacher, doesn't it? Anybody can make a mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. Any preacher can make a mistake and say some things that later on he finds out was not exactly right, or close to right, but not exactly, or part of the truth, but didn't go far enough, and change that and fix it. But these guys preach this stuff day in, day out. This is what they believe. This is what they want you to believe. Here's some comments. All of these comments, by the way, you write to us, and I'll give you the person who said every one of them. But all these are just comments, and men's names aren't here. But if you want the names of the people that said this, you just write us, and we'll get it to you. Another thing, here's one of them. Another thing that hinders receiving the Holy Spirit or anointing is people pray all the time. Now, can you imagine that? Preacher of the gospel getting up saying that you know what's hindering you from receiving the Holy Ghost? Because you pray all the time. How ludicrous is that? It's just plumb sickening, isn't it? Just sickening. Okay, here's another one. What is God? Well, God is a great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Did you know that? A God is an object of worship, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. He lived alone. So God wasn't God until he actually created something, then he became a God. How stupid. How absolutely stupid. And how anybody can say nonsense like that is one thing. But how anybody could listen to that nonsense and actually believe it is even more an abomination than anything to me. I can't understand it. How you can hear somebody say that and go, wait a minute, for the love of God himself, how can you say that? God was not even God. Okay, whatever. You know, I get so riled up, I just want to go nuts, I guess. Here's another one. God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not even subordinate to God even. Now that, folks, what is he saying to you? What does he mean he was not subordinate to God? Well, of course he was subordinate to God. If he wasn't subordinate to God, he could have stayed in the garden as long as he wanted, even after they sinned. Even after they turned against God and ate the fruit, they still could have stayed there because he was not subordinate to God. God couldn't tell him what to do. Of course he was subordinate to God, but see, they want you to think that you are God also, that you are God. Believe me, they believe that they are Christ in so many ways, and they are gods. You'll hear some of that as we go along. Here's another one that says, well, you need to hear about money, because you ain't going to have no love and joy and peace until you get some money. Now, how disgusting is that? I would just absolutely hate the thought that I can't have any fun, I can't have any joy, I can't have no love, I can't have no peace until I got tons of money. I don't need money to have love. I don't need money to have joy in the Lord. I don't need money to have peace. I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with the Lord now. And I don't have money. I don't even try to get a lot of money. You know, that's what's amazing about all this. People think that you got to have money to be happy. I never heard such ludicrous nonsense in my life. It's all just dog dung. It's ridiculous. We got another one. It says, God has made us as much like himself as possible. He made us the same class of being that he is himself. Man lived in the realm of God. He lived on terms equal with God. The believer is called Christ. That's who we are. We're Christ. Now, does anybody out there listening think that's not blasphemous? That's blasphemy. I pray there's no one that just heard this that thinks that's true. There's only one Christ, folks. Jesus. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He's the only begotten Son. We're not. We're not Christ, and we're not supposed to be, and we're not supposed to think we are, or to act like we are. We're to be servants, for land's sakes. Here's another good one. Listen to this. Would you listen to me? If your praying had helped, it would have helped you. Now, stop praying and start laughing. How you like that, folks? Quit praying and start laughing. That come out of the mouth of a man who calls himself the Holy Ghost bartender. This man's got millions of followers, folks. This ain't some clown off the street that nobody's heard of. This is a man who's got followers all over the world. And he says he's the Holy Ghost bartender. And stop praying and start laughing and you'll get somewhere. Can you imagine that? If your prayers had helped, it would have helped. So now start laughing and watch what happens. You'll get things answered. Just makes me want to slap somebody silly, as the old boy says. I think those boys should have been walked out behind the woodshed when they was young. Knocked a little sense into them or something. Ain't that pathetic? I tell you, it's a shame, shame what people are thinking nowadays in the churches. Just a sickness that's gonna come across the world, the church world. Here's a great one here too. You can cancel out God's plan by speaking negative words. God works by laws, and why did God take away the voice of Zacharias in Luke 1:11-20? Because God knew that Zacharias' negative words would cancel out his plan, God's plan. Now, how's that, huh? God's got a plan, but if old Zacharias decided he was going to say something negative, it would have canceled God's plans. Like God is not, not God, I guess. After all, let's look at what the real reason is. Zacharias didn't believe the angel, so this was his punishment, actually what the problem was. You know, God is almighty. No one can cancel out his plan. Here's what Luke 1:11-20 actually says, folks. It says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and the fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these good glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So you see, it had nothing to do with canceling out God's plan. That was just Zacharias' punishment. So Zacharias would realize that God sent the angel Gabriel. He told him what was going to happen. Zacharias didn't believe it. Gabriel said, the Lord shall take your tongue away from you, and you shall be dumb. You can't speak now until all this happens. Therefore, you will believe also. You see, it had nothing to do with canceling out God. It was Zacharias's punishment and his way that he learned. Because as soon as the child was born, Zacharias could speak. So, sure, now he knows. He knows now who God is, doesn't he? Nothing to do with canceling out God's plans. I tell you what, I want to just scream sometimes, folks. It's not frustrating. I don't want it to sound like frustration. It's not. It's sadness. You know, it's sad. Look, we're going to continue on this week with some more of this. Right now, we're out of time. I want you to listen to the little message that's coming up. God bless you. We'll see you in the morning. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you, and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that, and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CampPoint, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.